Thank you. And thank you, attorneys, for appearing on short notice back on our Zoom platform instead of the scheduled in-person hearing. I'm going to ask our marshal to call the next case for presentation.
This is case number A211001, Tequinia Coquela Douglas, petitioner appellant versus State of Minnesota respondent.
The rules of appellate procedure remain in place, except of course you do not need to stand. If you have any kind of a technical issue, please make a gesture or wave or do something to call it to my attention and we'll stop the time clock going. Each of you has 15 minutes for presentation of your case. An additional 5 minutes is reserved to appellate counsel for rebuttal if you choose to utilize that. And a final reminder, please state your name and indicate which client you're speaking on behalf of for our recording purposes. And with that said, Mr. Donovan, when you're ready, you have the floor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is John Donovan. I'm an assistant state public defender, and I represent the appellant in this case, Tequinia Douglas. The possession of shoplifting gear statute prohibits the possession of any device, gear, or instrument designed to assist with shoplifting or defeating an electronic article surveillance system with intent to use that to shoplift. In this case, Ms. Douglas was stopped leaving the store with a pair of jeans she did not pay for, a ball of tinfoil, as well as a box of perfume and some bras from another store that had tinfoil crumpled around the security devices. She was later charged with and convicted of possession of shoplifting gear based on that tinfoil. The issue before the court today is one of statutory interpretation. What does designed mean as used in that statute, and does tinfoil meet that definition?
Is that really? I'm not sure that's the focus, at least as I see it. You said that the statute is designed to assist in shoplifting. I think that's the operative language. You focus on the word designed, but your argument doesn't seem to address is by whom. Your argument seems to be built on the premise that the statutory phrase designed to assist in shoplifting is restricted to the design that was contemplated by the manufacturer of the product, and it excludes any refashioning or redesigning of that product by a third person, even if the redesign or the refashioning was specifically to aid in shoplifting. Do I understand your argument correctly that you are focusing only on the manufacturer and you want us to disregard any, or the statute requires us to disregard any refashioning or redesigning of the product?
No, Your Honor, no to both parts. The focus of the statute is not the question of who designed it. I think that's sort of been a bit of a red herring in this case that I've played into as well to a degree. The statute doesn't prohibit the designing of an item. The statute prohibits possession of that item. So the actual question of who designed the item actually doesn't matter.
Okay, so if someone redesigned some raw material that was sold, let's say someone sold a piece of iron at Home Depot, and someone took that iron, that slab of iron or sheet of iron, and put it in, and cut it in such a way that it can now be used for specific purposes. You're saying that the original manufacturer's design, that the purpose of that design is what matters, not how that product might have been redesigned for use for some other purpose. In other words, you want us to exclude the possibility that someone, perhaps your client, redesigned or refashioned that sheet of aluminum to wrap around a security device. You don't want us to think about that design, only the design of the manufacturer, at least as I read your brief. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. I think we're getting close to the heart of the matter, though, because the idea of redesigning something is what this statute is about. She didn't design anything because it was just tinfoil. I think if you look at, say, Skinner, you have fabric, you have string, you have pins. They designed something in that coat. They created something new from the raw material. In this case, the raw material stayed raw material through the whole time. She didn't do anything new with the aluminum foil. It was aluminum foil.
Wasn't the shape of the foil changed? Wasn't it modified from the original design?
No, I mean, it was just crumpled up. It was used how tin foil is always used.
Let me play a hypothetical game with you.
Sure.
Let's assume your client, you know, is a high schooler, and she's accused of violating a rule in the school that says no student may throw any projectile or ball from the balcony at a sporting event. And it defines the ball or projectile as any item that is designed to be a projectile. And it turns out your client shows up in the balcony with balls of tightly packed aluminum foil crumpled up, and she's throwing these off. They look like balls, but she's throwing them off the balcony. You would say that she's not in violation of that rule, because aluminum foil is not designed. The manufacturer didn't design it for that purpose. She's just crumpling it up.
I think there's a difference there in that we have the idea of a projectile. But I think really what this statute comes down to is items that are just manufactured for a purpose that's not one of the specific purposes in the statute.
You're missing my question.
Those are theft oils.
You're missing my point. My point is, in taking the manufacturer designed aluminum foil for some purpose, presumably not for shoplifting, mm-hmm. but then somebody buys that product and folds it around in a certain fashion so that it has a different purpose than the original designer intended. You're saying we can't consider that new design.
No, because it's still just aluminum foil. The fact that you can use a product to do other things than intended doesn't change what its original design was. I think this the Glover case gets to this in sort of three important points. One, it's a possession statute. It's not a use statute. And so, you know, the question of what it was made for, you know, it generally doesn't come into play. But two, the fact in the language is situational use of an item doesn't change its design. So the fact that you can use it was designed for that.
No, my point is the bending and refashioning of it, shaping it in such a way as to have a different purpose, does change the design. You disagree with that, I take it.
I disagree, because it's still just tinfoil. And if we're, you know, as I was saying, it's one of statutory interpretation. What does the word design mean?
Okay, design, go back to my hypothetical.
Okay.
You can't throw any ball or projectile. In this case, a child takes a piece of paper and folds it into an airplane and throws it off the balcony. You would say that's not a projectile because it wasn't designed. The rule says it has to be designed for use as a projectile. And he takes a sheet of notepaper with lines on it, which it's designed to write on, and he folds it into something else. You're saying you only can go with the manufacturer's design, not a reshaping of the item. Yes?
I guess in that scenario, I would say yes, but I think that's something different.
How?
Because we're talking about...
Why is folding paper to make it into a projectile different from folding aluminum to make it into a security defeating device? Why is one a design and one not?
Well, one is talking about what you are saying is design it into a new noun. What the statute is about is designing it for purposes, for uses. To maybe use a different analogy, if you go to a restaurant and you get your leftovers and they put it in tinfoil, you haven't actually designed anything new. You haven't made anything new. It's still just tinfoil, even though it's around something. So when we get to what the word design means, the definition of design, it's create, it's invent, it's, as the state says, produce.
If she were to fold it into a sheet of aluminum foil into what would otherwise be a paper airplane, except for the fact that it's made out of aluminum, you would then say that if she throws that off the balcony, that's not a violation of the rule. My hypothetical rule, because it wasn't designed to be used as a projectile. She just folded it to use it in that purpose. That would be your argument for her.
Well, I think what that gets to is if the legislature wants to talk about use, how it's used, it knows how to do that. The statute doesn't read designed or is capable of being used as. That's not how the statute reads. The statute reads designed. Design has a meaning that I think, honestly, we're all pretty close on, of create or invent or produce. This started as tinfoil. She took tinfoil into the store. When she put tinfoil around the security tag, it was still tinfoil. When the cops came, it was still tinfoil. When the jury saw it, it was still tinfoil. What we're getting at here, and I'm not saying that everyday household items can't wind up being shoplifting gear, but there has to be...
Wasn't the fabric in Skinner still fabric?
It was, but it became a pocket because other items were used with it. If that was just fabric, it's nothing. It was sewn into the coat. So you have fabric, you have pins, you have thread. You've made something where something wasn't there before. It's no longer just a piece of fabric. It's now a pocket. I think that you could update it with tinfoil and have a tinfoil lined pocket. And in that case, you would have shoplifting gear because you have something new. The tinfoil remains a raw material. When we have these things, again, generally, who designed it isn't going to matter because generally speaking, when we have these items that are designed for presumably non-criminal purposes, those are punished as being theft tools. If this had been charged as theft tool, I wouldn't be making this argument today. The Hamilton case that both parties have cited, an unpublished case, that was a Hennepin County case. That was how Hennepin County used to charge this. So it's still covered. We're not saying that this isn't some sort of criminal behavior. At some point, when you're using that tinfoil and you have that intent to steal, it then is a theft tool. But I think that shoplifting gear and with that word design, designed for a very specific purpose, you need to do something with that raw material. It needs to be modified in some sense. Judge Ross, when you were talking before about iron and getting iron and changing it, I think you've modified something there if you're adding to it to create shoplifting gear.
No, not adding to it, just cutting a piece off of it.
In that case, I don't think that would be shoplifting gear if you just have it. I think in that case, if I'm not quite sure how you would use iron, but I think then that would fall into theft tool. But we're looking at the word design, the meaning of design. You still need to have something that was created or produced. And this tinfoil never changed forms.
What if you took a steel bar and you cut out of it enough to make it into a hook that allowed you to reach into behind some security device in an electronic department and to unlock the security and remove items and pocket them and walk out of the store with it?
I think it would depend on how that steel bar ended up being changed. I think if you just have a steel bar, you buy from Home Depot, you go
it's
to
just
a
bent.
Store.
Let's assume it's bent in such a way that happens to serve as an unlocking device.
If a defendant bought a piece of steel and then bent it, I think that we could maybe say that they created something. They created that hook. There's maybe something there. I think it's
fair
still
enough.
A little
so
different.
The,
but
So the bending of steel is a design, but the bending of aluminum is not.
But again, it could still be punished. But I think that you'd probably be safer to charge that steel bar as a theft tool rather than shoplifting gear.
Right. I understand you might be safer, but if someone is using the steel bar to unlock a security device or a locked cabinet, say, at an electronics area of a department store, you've agreed that that would be then a shoplifting gear.
Possibly.
And that's because it was bent to be designed to be used to aid in the shoplifting, but not aluminum. I'm trying to understand why the bending or refolding of aluminum is not a redesign, but the bending or folding of metal, the harder metal, is. What's the logic of that?
The logic of that is that she's still using tinfoil as its intended use. Tinfoil is just something that every day all of us tear off and wrap around stuff. We don't ordinarily just have iron bars laying around, at least I don't, and bend them in some manner. So she's still using tinfoil as everyone does.
Why does that matter? Whether it's ordinarily done or not. People don't ordinarily take aluminum foil and fold it in a fashion to place within it an electronic device to walk through a security system of a store.
Because situational use doesn't change an object's design. And if she's using tinfoil as tinfoil is always used, to just as a covering to wrap around it. It hasn't been designed. The state hasn't proved that it's been designed because it has to be designed for specific purposes. It's not just design. It's also to assist with shoplifting or defeating an electronic article surveillance device. And it hasn't been designed in such a manner. Again, normally we don't care about what the manufacturer is doing here. But in this case, there's nothing to show that she used anything other than a raw material created by a manufacturer in the way that manufacturers are, you know, maybe not seeing it. But again, situational use does not alter a product's original design. I see that I'm almost out of time. If there are no questions at this point, we would just ask that you would reverse Ms. Douglas's conviction.
Thank you. We're going to turn it over to Ms. Beck. And just for our record purposes, Adam Petras is in our audience as far as the supervising attorney. Ms. Beck, when you're ready to proceed, go ahead.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Annika Beck. I'm a certified student attorney for the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, and I represent the state in this matter. As Judge Werke has noted, Adam Petras, assistant Hennepin County attorney, is supervising me today. The issue in this case is whether appellant's aluminum foil wrappings were designed to assist in shoplifting or defeating an electronic article surveillance system. I'll call that an EAS system for short. These wrappings were so designed for shoplifting. To design something means to plan or produce with special intentional adaptation to a specific end. Here, the appellant produced aluminum foil wrappings for the specific end of shoplifting. She wrapped aluminum foil around the EAS sensors, as pictured in Exhibit 6 and in Exhibit 8, and those sensors were on merchandise that had not been purchased. Now, the appellant argues it's just tinfoil. He argues that wrapping aluminum foil around an EAS sensor is simple use, like swinging a hammer. But appellant overlooks the fact that the designer, appellant in this case, made something new. They made something separate than the aluminum foil on the roll at the supermarket. They weren't swinging the hammer, they were forging the hammer. To do that, they chose items they wanted to shoplift, took aluminum foil off the roll in the size required, and then molded the foil to the EAS system sensor on the items at issue, which were unique sensors, large sensors only used at the Maple Grove Victoria's Secret location at that time. Now, because the designer created something new with these wrappings, they're more like the booster coat in Skinner than the unadulterated coat that the court contemplated in that case. Now, I'd like to make the point that a device made entirely of one material is no less a device. A clay bowl is made entirely of clay, but it's still a bowl. A foil hat, absurd though it may be, remains a hat, even though it's made entirely of aluminum foil. Now, the appellant would have this court find that to design something, there must be some sort of substantial modification. Today, appellant counsel mentioned new modification or some sort of elite craftsmanship involved. But Skinner does not require that sort of modification. In fact, Skinner said
I think that argument may be a bit of a straw man. I think the argument is that the aluminum foil is simply serving its ordinary function, which is to wrap around things.
Well, aluminum foil's specific function is to act as a barrier. And in this case, appellant particularly designed this barrier for this specific product on the EAS sensor at issue here, creating something new.
I don't know if that helps your argument. If your position is that aluminum foil was designed to be a barrier, designed by the manufacturer to be a barrier, the statute requires the design to aid in shoplifting. I think you'd have to argue that the manufacturer intended the designed aluminum to be a barrier to electronic surveillance mechanisms.
Well, I think here the designer is the appellant in this case, who took the raw material and wrapped it around an EAS sensor to create an aluminum foil wrapping that
the fact that Reynolds or whoever the manufacturer of the foil thought of it as a barrier doesn't really bear on your argument, then.
It's not required, no. Now, the requirement that there be some sort of substantial change, which Judge Ross and I were just discussing, would introduce some sort of problem of vagueness. How much change to an item would need to happen for an item to have been designed under the statute, or how many component parts would it have to have for it to be designed under the statute. It would also make the statute under-inclusive in a way it currently isn't, right? So it would punish the person who wrapped the sensors in aluminum foil, and tape and glue for extra measure, but then wouldn't.
Do I read your brief correctly that the state is conceding that the statute is ambiguous?
No, absolutely not. The state believes that the statute is unambiguous, but has made both arguments in the event that the court does find the statute ambiguous because we prevail on both analyses. So as I was saying, it would be under-inclusive because it would punish the person who wrapped the EIS sensor in aluminum foil and tape and glue for good measure because they would have designed something new, but then wouldn't punish the person who wrapped aluminum foil around the EIS sensor to create an aluminum foil wrapping because somehow that would not be a new design. This cannot have been the legislature's intent. And because a person designs shoplifting gear when they wrap foil around a specific sensor on a specific merchandise to thwart an EIS system, the appellant's conviction must be affirmed. That's the conclusion of my prepared remarks. I'm ready for the court's additional questions.
It appears there aren't any additional questions. Thank you for your presentation. That means we turn back to you, Mr. Donovan, for any rebuttal.
I'm not sure that I really have any rebuttal, Your Honor. Unless the court has any questions, we would ask that you reverse the post-conviction court and Ms. Douglas's conviction.
Thank you. Thank you to both of you again for appearing on our Zoom platform. The matters are deemed submitted and a decision will be issued in the statutory timeframe.